Today's show is sponsored by DivvyCloud. DivvyCloud protects cloud and container environments from misconfigurations, policy violations, threats, and IAM challenges. With automated, real-time remediation, DivvyCloud helps customers like Spotify, Twilio, and Discovery achieve continuous security and compliance so they can realize the full benefits of cloud and container technology. DivvyCloud provides continuous security and compliance across all cloud providers and containers, including AWS, GCP, Azure, Alibaba, and Kubernetes, providing a comprehensive view of what's in your cloud, along with the tools and automation you need to manage it today, tomorrow, and well into the future as your business needs grow and change. Through its new Infrastructure as Code security capability, DivvyCloud also addresses problems before runtime and prevents the introduction of security and compliance risks into your cloud infrastructure. DivvyCloud assesses potential code changes with the context of your unique cloud footprint and offers meaningful feedback on how the changes would affect your security and compliance posture. To learn more, visit divvycloud.com/cloudcast. That's divvycloud.com/cloudcast to sign up for a free trial. DivvyCloud. Find your freedom to innovate.
Cloudcast Media presents from the Massive Studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome back to The Cloudcast. We are coming to you live from our Massive Cloudcast studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hope everybody is doing well. Let's get right to the cloud news of the week, as there are a number of stories that will be of interest to quite a few people. First story is that Verizon has decided to buy the BlueJeans video conferencing service. Obviously, with a lot of people changing the way they do work, whether they are, collaborating with friends or collaborating with people at work or other things, video conferencing has become a massive industry. It's become a massive part of our lives. How long that'll last is yet to be seen, but Verizon has decided that they want to get into that game. BlueJeans being one of those services that's been around for quite a while. It was kind of an early focus on supporting a lot of different input technologies. Obviously things like Hangouts and Zoom and WebEx and lots of other services, Teams and others are, very competitive in that space, but Verizon has decided that they want to add that to their collaboration services and hopefully add on to the 5G types of things they're trying to do. Second news of the week was Alibaba announced that they're going to inject $28 billion into their cloud infrastructure over the next 3 years. This is a space that we've talked about quite a bit where, the big three, AWS, Azure, and Google are investing $3, $5, $10 billion a year into their infrastructure. So to really compete in this game, you've got to be in that range of, $5 to $10 billion a year. And they said this is over 3 years. So, you're looking at basically $7, $8, $9 billion a year over the next 3 years. It'll be interesting to see how much this, boosts Alibaba's standing. They're typically listed anywhere between third and fifth or third and sixth, depending on, which firm is sort of analyzing the different ones, but obviously a huge amount of input capital that they're going to put into this, and it'll see how much this impacts kind of their reach, both in Asia, but maybe potentially around the world. And the third thing that was on the list was Confluent, kind of the inventors and stewards of the Kafka streaming protocol and a lot of the new streaming types of application services, took a $250 million Series E round of funding on a $4.5 billion valuation. So, they're continuing to make sure that they are well capitalized as they, continue to grow both their cloud services as well as their software services. Confluent does fairly well in the Kafka space, and they did make some announcements about some new things coming as well. So interesting to see some of these companies taking a pretty good round of funding this time late, in their stages in terms of, having capital to be able to weather through some of the economic challenges that are going on out there today. So with that, we're going to wrap up sort of a short news of the week, lots of investments and acquisitions. We're going to talk a little bit about observability and how this relates to not only kind of how we're working in new worlds and, sort of DevSecOps from home, distributed operations and so forth. But I think you're going to enjoy our next conversation as we really dive into those topics right after the break. Today's Cloudcast is brought to you by Datadog, a scalable monitoring and analytics platform. In their latest report on container trends, Datadog analyzed 1.5 billion containers and found that in 97% of Kubernetes environments, container lifespan was under 30 days. To help you visualize and manage this dynamic infrastructure, Datadog seamlessly integrates with over 350 technologies, such as Kubernetes, Docker, Amazon ECS, and much more. Plus, with Datadog are container-specific features like the Live Container View and the Container Map. So try Datadog today for yourself with a free 14-day trial, and you'll receive a complimentary t-shirt. Just go to datadog.com/cloudcast. That's datadog.com/cloudcast. Today's show is brought to you by MongoDB. No one wants to manage databases if they can avoid it. That's why MongoDB made MongoDB Atlas, a global cloud database service that runs on AWS, GCP, and Azure. You can deploy a fully managed MongoDB database in minutes with just a few clicks or API calls. MongoDB Atlas automates deployment, updates, scaling, and more so that you can focus on your application instead of taking care of your database. You can get started for free at mongodb.com/atlas. If you're already running a MongoDB deployment, Atlas has a live migration service so you can migrate it easily with minimal downtime, then get back to what matters. Stop managing your database and start using MongoDB Atlas. We're back. And folks, it is one of the topics that always comes up as, you know, we're seeing more and more rapid development of new applications. The world that we live in changes and we're trying to experiment with new things. We're trying to see how new pieces of technology that we introduce into our applications, into our world are going to impact things. The need for visibility, the need for the ability to observe stuff in real time, the need to observe and collect log information and all of that. And then especially as we're trying to make sure that things like security groups and others have access to what's going on, it's really important to have visibility to those things. And so today we're very excited to have Tomer Levy, who is co-founder and CEO of Logs, to come talk to us about sort of observability in the cloud world. So Tomer, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on. Where are you at in the world these days?
I am sitting in Tel Aviv, locked in my home.
Yeah, hopefully you are safe. And I know we're somewhat inconvenienced, but hopefully you are safe. So you've got quite an interesting background, both as a technologist and an entrepreneur. Can you, for our audience, can you give us a little bit of your background, kind of how you got to where you were today in terms of your technology path, and then just, you know, what got you passionate about wanting to start logs.io?
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to. So I started my, career, quote unquote, by, being a kid that loves computers and kind of, playing around with them. My first job during my school, during my university, was, software developer. I later worked for a security company for Checkpoint Software, developing kind of the second generation of security, firewalls and IPSs, kind of learned how enterprise companies use security and deploy security software. And then I decided I want to kind of build my own company. Out of Checkpoint, I built a company called Integua, founded in 2010. And what we wanted to do is build, today we call them containers, but in 2010, no one knew what containers were. But the idea is, let's not install software on server. Let's put the software in this virtual entity so we can move it around and we won't be locked into all these challenges of software and upgrades and so on. We can talk more about Integua, but in end of 2014, I founded logs.io, and this is where I am now.
Yeah, very, very cool. There's always been a fantastic community of security experts that have come out of Tel Aviv and that, so it's always good to catch up with the folks that have expanded upon that. Logs is known for, very much the work that you do around the Elk stack with Grafana and some SIEM technologies. But a lot of it, again, is based on open source. Kind of give us a sense, especially in terms of observability, if you will, like how has the open source community kind of evolved, not only to build great projects around open source, but pull them together and then, kind of evolve as the need for we've moving from monitoring to observability has sort of changed.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it's okay, I'll give you a 30-second on how I came about to discover this world of open source.
Yeah.
So when I was at Integua, we built this amazing technology, really superior technology. And then this open source company and project came about, and it was named Docker. And we heard across our customer base, what about Docker? What about Docker? And, they actually do what you guys do, but they give it for free. And I was like, what do you mean they give it for free? What do you mean they have what we have? And long story short, kind of that really, really affected the company in a negative way. Someone was literally giving our software for free, and they also had a lot of innovation, right? They brought the community and they brought the smartest developers. And then I, you know, kind of living in Tigua in the end of 2013, beginning of 2014, I said, I want to be a part of this open source movement. I don't want to be kind of explaining why it's not as good and why proprietary software is better and safer. I want to be a part of that. And kind of 2014, I started to discover that, hey, there is this thing called monitoring around ELK and log management in a completely new way, which I wasn't familiar with then. So this was kind of my introduction to the world of open source, more specifically around ELK. And I think similar to the path I've made, I think a lot of the market, a lot of the practitioners out there started usually probably 10 years ago, just collecting logs, you know, sysadmins and developers just getting the logs from their VMware or them even before that or from their just applications. And at some point you realize that, hey, you know, there's an open source that can do all that. And it's ELK and the group that the community of ELK created an amazing project. And I was kind of so excited about that, you know, just a different user experience, a different level of interaction with data. So that was kind of the first step. And when you think about how the world moved from log management, which has been here for years, right?
Right.
You know, Splunk has been around forever, and even before Splunk, there were many other companies. But suddenly you realize that you actually need to look at different portions and different parts of the application. You want to look at the different metrics that they generate. You want to look at you want to look at the traces, and you don't want to look at them separately. You want to look at them at one place. And that realization, I would say, probably accelerated over the last 24 months. And when there's a need that open source community usually provides, because, you know, smart engineers, the one that want to be like free to do what they want, those engineers said, hey, you know, I need to look at metrics, but I don't feel like using one of the proprietary solutions. I want to build something which is a little bit better. So, you know, there's a whole group around Grafana, an amazing community that built really innovative things. And there's another group that built, you know, tools like Zipkin and Jaeger for tracing because they saw a problem that they felt like didn't get an answer. So that has been the case for a while. And recently this has come together and, hey, can we connect all of them together? And this is what people call observability today.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and it's interesting to sort of hear your journey, because I think, you know, for a lot of people, you know, they hear about open source and they go, oh, okay, it's interesting because it's free software. And then you put it in the context of your business and you go, okay, I can look at it as, you know, impactful to something maybe that you've built. And then the flip side of it is, you know, economically, you know, if you can take advantage of using that as an input into what you do, you know, it obviously makes your cost of engineering cheaper. You can put a different context around how you use it, right? You apply it to, you know, certain use cases. It doesn't just become sort of, you know, raw generic technology. But yeah, it's always interesting to see companies kind of, you know, navigate what open source communities can mean to their business, whether it's in a positive way, in a negative way, and figure out, you know, can I use it? Do I work against it? So it's interesting to hear your story and how it evolved from your previous company to where you are today. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that you're seeing happening with the Elk Stack, with Grafana. You know, like, how is it being used these days to make lives easier? I mean, you talked a little bit about, you know, being able to do traceability across a lot of things, but, you know, as you talk to companies that have DevOps teams or trying to evolve to better manage all this data that comes out of applications, what are some of the use cases or stories that you hear that, you know, these core technologies are making it easier for them?
No, absolutely. There's just an enormous evolution, and even with these days, you know, the COVID, this whole inflection point of people actually accelerating their need to be online, to be digital. Otherwise, you know, some of the businesses will not survive. So all that migration to the cloud, the fact that people suddenly, you know, it's not just this one application that I have. I'm now running on Amazon or on Azure or Google. I have all these different components. I have microservices. I have serverless and containers. And suddenly, instead of managing this, you know, one big app, I have to manage 100 different pieces that they all interact in different ways. And it just becomes just almost unmanageable. And this is what's driving the demand and kind of the adoption by the community of engineers to, hey, I need to have a way to look at how these different components interact together. How they, you know, are they functioning okay? Are they performant? You know, are they really secure? Maybe they're going through some kind of an attack. So I would say that as applications become more distributed with all the kind of the vintage of great technologies provided by the cloud providers, you suddenly have to manage them and monitor them and see how they perform in a much stricter way. So that actually you see the use case, you know, if it's an airline, if it's a healthcare, you know, we just released a couple of blogs this week about how we, you know, trying to do our best in our, you know, small piece of the world to help healthcare companies, you know, they do telehealth or do different ways to interact with patients. And, you know, suddenly you understand this is actually built out of 100 microservices with databases, with microservices and serverless. And hey, Logzeo is actually, or, you know, any of the open sources that run, that we enable actually help solve this problem. They help, you know, bring it all into one place. So what is the value? It doesn't take you an hour to identify downtime. It doesn't take you, you know, a couple of hours to trace different bugs in your system. It just makes everything more performant, you know, more available, more secure. And this is what, you know, every engineer that has a digital application wants to achieve.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think you really hit it. You hit the nail on the head. You know, we're now living in a time where, you know, whether you're dealing with a distributed application or you just, you know, you're dealing with distributed workforce. So, you know, the patterns that they're using are going to be different than you had before. You know, you've got a lot of business leaders right now that are saying, hey, we understand that a part of our business or our client's business, you know, needs to just be stable. But there's also a lot of people that are saying, you know, how can we experiment with some things? How can we try something out? Because, you know, we don't necessarily know when things are going to get back to the way they were before. Maybe they won't get back to that because we're going to have to do things different. There's a lot of experimentation going on. And right now, you know, with say revenues being tight or, you know, people concerned, like experimentation has to be active, but you also have to be able to cut it off. And so you have to have that observability right there next to the experiment. So, you know, okay, it was good. It didn't work. Cool. Let's try the next one. It is important to have that kind of right there with your application team so that they get that feedback immediately.
Right. It gives that level of confidence to, hey, I want to try, I want to deploy quickly, I want to make changes, but you always know what's going on. Something is not right. Hey, let's revert it. Let's do it again. Exactly that.
Right. Now, we talked early in the introduction, you've got a background in security. You'd worked at Check Point, but you'd been a developer before. How do you find, you know, in these more fast moving types of things, like what has to evolve from a security perspective? You know, we hear things like shift left and, you know, some of the tools are again, becoming a little more real time, but what's the mind shift thing that has to happen to get the security teams more involved early on so that experimentation can happen? They're not blocking things because they say, hold on, we don't know which ports you're opening or we don't know what you're doing. Like, how does security come into play when we're talking about observability and these things that are moving more fast?
Yeah, I think this is one of the biggest changes that we've been seeing, and it's actually accelerating over the last 12 months pretty rapidly. And that change is exactly what you said. You know, in 5 years ago, you know, my Check Point experience, you have the security team, they have the firewall team, they have the networking team, they have the, you know, the different teams that manage the different aspects of security. Now, if I'm a fast moving company, even if it's a big enterprise that has a big, you know, online digital business, they want to be fast moving. They want to be competitive. They want to deploy quickly to production. They want to experiment with new services. Who is going to open the security groups on your, you know, Amazon instance? Is it going to be, you know, you're going to open a ticket to the security person? No, that's not going to be feasible. You have to trust your developers. You have to evolve from being, you know, the team that does things to become the team that puts the policies, that puts the enablement, that puts the tools in place so developers can be creative, can do what they are brought in to do. They are brought here to create, to produce, you know, great software. So if you give developers, you know, the protection, the tools that enable them to run really fast, and then they can deploy quickly, they can develop software quickly, and they don't have to worry about security, this is where, you know, you see innovation, where you see, you know, stagnation is where, you know, you want to have a security group which are kind of control freaks. They want to be, you know, every step that is moving, and they want to be the one that are the gatekeepers. And this is, you know, eventually I think slows down organizations. So I am a big believer in the role of developers in the future in general, but specifically even in security, I think developers and DevOps teams will have more and more impact in terms of implementing security policies and enabling that in organizations.
Yeah. Yeah, it does make you wonder if we're going to reach a point where, you know, in the past, before applications would get deployed, they sort of had to go through a security checklist of stuff you had to do. It kind of gave security a bad name. You start to wonder if going forward, one of the ways that may get resolved is to just go, hey, is your team sort of, and this is a bad term, but sort of, are you DevSecOps enabled? Did you embed security in your team? And if you didn't, that's sort of the first checkpoint, the checkbox as to whether or not you're going to be able to build applications to move forward, as opposed to making it two separate processes.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
You know, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, none of us know when a lot of these things are going to change, the environments we're in, or, you know, what new changes are going to come along. You obviously get a chance to talk to a lot of your clients that are going through these changes. They're having to adapt. Are you finding, either for your team or for some of the clients that you talk to, like some best practices for working remotely, whether those are operations teams or you know, monitoring and observability teams? Are you starting to see any new practices or best practices emerge, or tips and tricks you can kind of give to people?
Yeah. I think a couple. You know, in general, working remotely is kind of it's always a challenge for companies which are not used to it. Right. And I believe that generally, you know, working with people is about trust and communication. And I think the same applies to technology teams. And you know, trust, you know, it's now you have a production issue, a security incident, everyone is under immense stress. And when you're not seeing your teammate in the eyes and you cannot look at them, you know, things can go sideways, right? So just establishing this strong trust that we're all trying to do our best to, you know, resolve this or do, you know, get this project done. This is the basis of everything. So I encourage like my team to kind of invest in that. And I think the second part is around communication. You know how developers and, you know, DevOps teams are. They're quick. They don't have time. They want to run really fast, especially when these incidents or big deployments are happening. So I've seen a migration a bit from Slack to Zoom when people are running these incidents, running these big projects. I don't think it really matters a specific platform, but having tools, whether it's Logzio or whether it's other tools that you have that connect to your normal processes, when you're doing something, especially remote, you don't want to use seven different capabilities that don't interconnect. So I imagine, you know, remote teams working, hey, I can have alerts going from my system into my, you know, my Slack immediately, and I can have that connected to a ticket. Because once you deploy and you communicate, even the tools themselves over communicate outside to the team, hey, this just happened and that happened and this operation was executed, then once you have communication, you know what's going on and you keep everyone informed. And I think the tools have a lot to offer in connecting them to your normal processes that you run within your organization. I would say these are the basics, like that. Just get this done. Get the right processes and tools to communicate in place, and that's most of the challenge.
Yeah. No, it makes sense, and I think, you know, just the first thing that you pointed out in terms of saying, hey, you know, a lot of us, you know, we live and work around Slack, and we do those day to day kind of text based communication, and you're seeing some of that, I don't know, escalate is the right word, or sort of elevate to using a face-to-face type of thing, a Zoom or some other video conferencing. Like, there is a certain amount of kind of human connectedness that we've lost a little bit, and that we don't see people physically. We don't necessarily remember, like, you lose track of time and space. So yeah, I think that's an incredibly important thing. It's, you know, the communication piece is fine, but there is a certain piece of kind of seeing the person you work with, knowing what they're going through, just, you know, making that connection to them, kind of not feeling isolated is incredibly important. You know, every company these days on the technology side is, you know, we're seeing more and more interesting ways in which they're trying to help communities, right? They've learned that, you know, right now, you know, pushing technology, selling technology kind of doesn't make any sense right now. It's not something that's appreciated by the market. We're seeing a lot of very interesting things coming out of technology companies using their experience to help, to provide information, to, you know, try and do things to, you know, again, ease the burden. What are some of the things that you and your team have been thinking about, or things that you've seen that you're able to just go out and help companies these days in this time of challenge?
Yeah. I think we've done a couple. I think probably not enough. I would love to do more. But just to name a few, one is we had this campaign that we launched a couple of weeks ago that, you know, every company that in healthcare, we're going to take a pretty big portion of our SaaS and offer it for free. And that is the full technology that we have, but also a pretty heavy processing and storage that we're going to fully cover. And we have actually, you know, quite a lot of companies that have taken advantage of it, and they're doing some amazing things, from, you know, research to telehealth to AI for automatically helping with patients in different conditions. So, you know, it's, you kind of look at that and you see what they do, and it's humbling, right, to see that you've contributed even a little bit to this, right, to this effort. We've done another project. Our kind of community managers have taken a lot of data from the kind of patient information about, like, infection rates and others from different data sources. And we've done them and we've added them into the Logsdale platform. So, you know, and shared it with the community. And we have, you know, a bunch of researchers and people that want to analyze and try to get new insights, actually use the Logsdale analytics engine all for free to run their experiments. And it's a pretty cool initiative.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. And sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's the big things that make a huge difference. And sometimes it's just small things. It's access to things. It's one click to bring in information. And you never know when that might, you know, spur the next kind of creative thought that says, hey, how do we make some progress moving forward? So that's very, very cool. I know you're very busy. I want to be conscious of your time. I want to wrap up with one last thing. You know, I saw there's an event coming up that your team is running, a kind of a virtual event called Open Observability. Tell us about what you're doing with the event, kind of, you know, what's some of the agenda highlights that people could look forward to if they want to attend? Who are some of the speakers? You know, what are you trying to do to what sort of story and message are you bringing with this virtual event?
Yeah, for sure. Super exciting. It's called the Open Observability event. It's obviously a digital event, a virtual event. It's happening in May 27th. There's all the details will be tomorrow on our website. We're actually just launching it right now. And the idea is it's not an event about Logs.io. It's an event about people who are kind of interested in observability, interested in DevOps, and the speakers will be creators of different open source communities around observability, some of the biggest contributors to some of the open sources we internally use as well as externally enable to other customers. And just, you know, if you're keen about technology, if you're interested about how you can contribute by yourself, if you're interested in where the world is going, where machine learning for observability will be, you know, you jump in, join us at this event. We'd love to have everyone join, contribute. Super exciting event. In the next couple of days, it will be on the Logsdale website.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And we'll get all that in the show notes for folks that are listening. And, you know, we'll get the dates and times all lined up. You know, Tomer, this is an interesting time where we live in. We appreciate you not only giving us some insight into how people are using the technology creatively to, you know, help improve the business, help experiment, but really kind of getting your insight as to, you know, how open source communities are helping to drive innovation. They're helping to create sort of new business models. You know, one last thing, if folks want to reach out to you and the team, what are some good ways that they can engage with you, especially now that, you know, we're seeing all these new ways of doing communication?
Yeah. So my Twitter handle is should be on the notes. You know, on the Logzell website, we have access to, you know, our solution, our product people who can always help, our developer relation people who kind of help in different with different developers that want to use our software. We have we have a big community edition of our platform with thousands of companies using Logzell for free. This has been around for 5 years. So anyone who is kind of interested in, you know, chatting with us and trying out the platform, it's all free on the logs.io website. Would love to have you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, listen, Tomer, thank you so much for the time today. It was great to, again, kind of dig into a topic that I know a lot of people are really interested in terms of observability and security around DevSecOps. So thank you again for the time, folks. As always, we really appreciate you listening to the show, telling a friend. You know, we know that you've got a lot of things on your mind these days, that we appreciate you giving us feedback on the show. And with that, we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.